The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Let's get some calls in here. We had Mark, and we're not sure if it was Mark Vandermeer or not.
It wasn't.
You sure?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Was that Mark Vandermeer?
He could have been.
Do you
want to
get him a call from Jack? Like, first of all, he would have immediately been fired if Bill O'Brien was here. But, hey, Bill, I heard on the radio that Mark Vandermeer called a different radio station.
God, get him out! Get him out! What? Bring him in here so I can punch him first, and then get him out!
And that's what would have happened. You would have got Mark Vandermeer punched and almost killed.
No, but he's not
you
there
can't
anymore.
Say reckless
Bill O'Brien's
stuff like
not
that.
There anymore.
Yeah, but Jack will get you, but just with a smile on his face. Here's what Nick Casario said. That wasn't Mark Vandermeer. Why are you? Those are idiots over there. Don't talk. I don't want to hear about that anymore. See? Sane people are there now. They just call us idiots and move on.
Yeah. No. That's that. And rightfully so.
I couldn't go to the Texans media thing yesterday. Did you go?
I did not. Okay. I actually got client things. You didn't go?
No, they were just going to discuss new media, this, that, and the other. Right. And I mean, if your practices are when we're on the air, it makes it tough for us to get out there anyway. But we'd like for you to wait and hold your practices back until we start to get hotter. Like, yeah, it's in the 80s right now, but can you wait until it's in the high 90s into the low 100s before you start so the radio guys can get out there? see how that one goes. Just to follow up on our last topic about who are the teams that could take a step up and step back. You know, if you look at it historically, because I've had to do these columns before, I've had to look at our, you know, we do our season predictions every year. It's interesting. If you go year to year, if you go back to the previous year, like, okay, last year, for example, the Cincinnati Bengals had 10 wins. Do you know how many wins they had in 2020? Not many.
Number one pick. Well, Joe got hurt.
Yeah, so they made a...
Joe got hurt eight games in?
They made a step up of plus six.
Yeah.
Plus six.
Well, but they had their quarterback.
The Pittsburgh Steelers were 12-4. The Baltimore Ravens were 11-5 last year. And injuries do happen. Last year, Pittsburgh Steelers went from 12-4 to 9-7. That's a fall of three games. I mean, that happens. The Baltimore Ravens ended up with 8 wins. That's a fall of three games. So minus three is a real thing. To go more, it takes like Houston Texans type of disasters. But minus three is a very real thing. That happens. A lot of times it does come with injury caveats or age catches up with the team, but that's part of the NFL. But the jump up is what usually is much more significant. And the jump up team this year, if you want to look for a jump, like who's going to jump the most games?
Well, to your point, the Philadelphia Eagles face the second easiest quarterback run in the NFL.
Makes sense.
The Commanders are first. They only face Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, and Matt Ryan. Otherwise, all of the other quarterbacks that they face are 3 and 4, are in the third and fourth tier of quarterbacks in the NFL. The Eagles only face Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, and Matt Ryan. Otherwise, 3- and 4-tier quarterbacks. The Bears also face easy quarterbacks. The Giants, easy quarterbacks. The Lions, tied for 28th in easiest quarterbacks. The Packers face easy quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers only faces Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, and Dak Prescott this year. Otherwise, it's Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Ryan Tannehill, Mac Jones, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Tua, Zach Wilson, and Daniel Jones. So it matters who, what teams you're playing and how good their quarterbacks are. Your Eagles pick might be a pretty good one.
Oh, I think the Eagles are, yeah, I mean, Eagles make the playoffs minus 175. Eagles miss the playoffs plus 130. Dallas makes the playoffs minus 250.
They're a much bigger favorite to make the playoffs.
Well, Dallas might makes the playoffs minus 250. Eagles
well,
to
they
make
should
the playoffs
in that division.
Yeah, but if, not
if,
really.
You look, it'll be a disappointing season if the Cowboys don't win that division.
Oh, I think the Eagles should be the favorite.
You do? They're not though.
Yeah, I think the Eagles. No, I'm just telling you. I think they should be. Well, I think if it were up to me, and you look at the you look at the roster composition, I think the Eagles are set up. I mean, Dallas is in pretty good position too.
According to USA Today Sports, they did their
Nate Davis?
Yeah. Their record projections have the Eagles at 11-6. So, you know, Lance on with that one. They do have the Cowboys at 10-7 this year. But as far as if we're just going to look at the top team by each division, in the AFC West, they have the Chiefs at 11-6. AFC North, the Ravens at 12-5. AFC South, the Colts at 9-8. They have the Texans at 3-14. The AFC East, the Bills at 15-2. NFC West, the Rams at 12-5. The NFC North will be the Packers at 11-6. NFC South, Bucks at 13-4.
Think of this. You can't so.
That's the easiest.
There's a finite amount.
How about the Bucks? The Saints have got Jameis Winston. The Falcons are they're the worst team in the NFL. And the Panthers. That's their division.
It's such a slappy division.
Oh.
It's so bad. That division. Well, look at where everyone drafted. Atlanta had an early pick. Everyone had an early pick other than Saints. But so there's a finite amount of wins, right? There's a finite amount of wins every single year in the NFL. There's an equal amount of wins and losses. So teams, you can't have – look, I'm looking at the AFC East, and I say, well, yeah, Dallas won 12 games last year, and they have a pretty good team. But the Eagles just got a lot better. Washington – you know, you could argue with that defense. Washington last year won seven games. If Wentz plays average football, which I'm not going to give it to him automatically, but they added Jahan Dotson. I'm not ready to say that Washington, they did lose Brandon Scherff. They may not go anywhere. Could the Giants be better? I mean,
no.
I didn't love their draft, but they have four wins. I do think the Eagles are going to get more wins in the division. So they're going to get more wins. I think they're going to go up to at least 11 wins. Their over-under is 9.5. So where are those wins going to come from? Like, who's going to take the step down? The Minnesota Vikings had 8 wins. The Bears had 6, and the Lions had 3. The Packers had 13. If we think the Lions jump up to 6 wins, right, plus 3, just plus 3 wins. And if I think the Eagles gain 2 wins to 11, there is now, I've got to account for 5 wins somewhere that where wins become losses somewhere else. So, like Tampa at 13-4, I'm not sure that Tampa wins 13 games, even in a bad division. The Saints, 9-8. I mean, the Falcons, 7-10. Carolina Panthers, 5-12. That was last year.
Oh, Falcons take a big dip.
Who's dropping? I think the Falcons. I think the Falcons could be responsible for.
They've already named Marcus Mariota as their quarterback.
They could be responsible for at least 4 of those losses.
Yeah,
like additional losses, meaning they could be 3-14. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
I think they'll be the worst team in the NFL this year.
But who else? Arizona with 11 wins, San Francisco with 10 wins, the Rams with 12 wins, Seahawks with 7. I think the Seahawks could be a 5-win team.
Yeah, or less.
I think the Rams could fall off after winning. I think they could. They might not get to the 12-win mark this year. Or even the Cardinals at 11 wins. Listen, J.J. Watt, you look at the age of that team, that could be a little bit of a house of cards over there with them. It's never felt completely stable. With the GM, Steve Keim has had his issues. Cliff Kingsbury has not been a consistent. I mean, where's their playoff wins? Arizona, Kyler Murray has to, you don't even, I mean, he's too busy playing video games to eat. They have to put a video game clause in his contract. Now, Kyler, if you don't, and Kyler sounds like a little kid too.
Yeah,
Kyler, really. You, does that sound like a grown-up?
No.
Kyler! You call Kyler off a playground.
Yeah.
Kyler! Kyler! Well, Kyler's probably maybe somebody who's not going to be on a playground. They're going to be really close to a hovering parent. But here's this. Here's the age of this team.
Well,
like, look at this.
Well, I think that's accurate.
I mean, it sounds like Zaven Collins, who was a rookie last year who had some maturity issues. Isaiah Simmons has never – those are their two inside linebackers. One guy was a safety who has not proven he can be a linebacker yet in Isaiah Collins. You've got J.J. Watt on that defense. Marcus Golden, who's, you know, just kind of a guy. Marco Wilson, that's not good enough at one cornerback spot. At the other cornerback spot, you got Antonio Hamilton and Christian Matthew. That's not good. I like Buda Baker. Jalen Thompson, I don't even know who Jalen Thompson is, and I write up the draft. Byron Murphy I like, but, you know, just here's our offensive line. Justin Pugh, DJ Humphrey, Rodney Hudson's getting a lot older. Will Hernandez washed out in with the Giants. Kelvin Beachum, older guy who came over from the Jets via the Steelers. That offensive line ain't good enough. I'm telling you right now, fade the Cardinals. Fade the Cardinals. Their running back, James Conner, I do like that they added they just had a Keontae Ingram. Eno Benjamin, Daryl Hamilton, James Conner, who's mostly just a touchdown maker in short yardage. You got A.J. Green, sucked last year with Cincinnati.
They lost Christian Kirk.
They added Hollywood Brown. When is he healthy? They've still got Rondell Moore. And then you've got six-game suspension for ped suspension for D-Hop. And did you see the numbers? I posted this. Did you see the numbers for Kyler Murray with and without D-Hop?
No.
Oh my God! Get a load of these numbers.
All right, we'll do it on the other side.
When we come back, I'll tell you what they are. But I'm telling you, Arizona is about to fade out this year.
All right, give me the VIN.com. Lance just gave us some money, okay? And John Clay Wolf is giving you some money as well. John Clay Wolf is giving you more money for your vehicle than other people who do this. Other people buy your cars and they give you less money for it. John Clay Wolf gives you more money for it. John Clay Wolf says, if I can't beat CarMax, I'm going to send you $100. You know what never happens? He sends you $100 because he's always going to beat CarMax. Always. Except one time he said, when they were like $4,000 off on their offer, he said, okay, I'll send you $100. Here's the deal. If you're looking to sell your car, go armed knowing what it's worth. And then you go in there and they tell you what they want to pay you for it. And you're like, nope. I'm going to go with John Clay Wolf here because John Clay Wolf is going to give me more at givemethevin.com. So simple, easy to navigate, so simple to do. It literally takes minutes to get a quote of how much your car is worth. So go to give me. You're going to sell your car? Go to givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. What do you got? You got some thoughts on anything? We've got a Ken Rosenthal.
Hey, let me play this article off, though.
Yes.
The Kyler Murray with and without.
Yep.
DeAndre Hopkins, here you go. With him on the field, 8.5 air yards per attempt, without 7.1. Completion percentage with D-Hop, 72.1, without 63.8. Yards per attempt, 8.8 with, 6.2 without. Dinky dunky, dinky dunky. Touchdown to interception, 18-8.
Is that how Kyler talks? What is it?
I'm saying that's how.
Dinky dunky.
When it's 6.2, that's like Derek Carr's a rookie stuff. 18 touchdowns to 8 interceptions on touchdowns interceptions with D-Hop, without 6-4. Quarterback rating, 108 with, 82 without.
Mm.
Kyler Murray really struggles without DeAndre Hopkins. A.J. Green was literally a nothing last year. I think this is, like I said, I just want to pay that off. I think the Cardinals are the team that fall, one of the teams that fall back, and they're going to, and you're going to see mass hysteria because Cliff Kingsbury got a new deal. and Kyler Murray just got that deal. So Kyler better play well.
So Ken Rosenthal has an article in The Athletic this morning. What Astros want for one of their starters. And it's a picture of Jake Odorizzi. Okay. If the Astros fulfill their quest to trade one of their starting pitchers, they will not be getting prospects in return. No, the Astros would justify the move to its clubhouse by acquiring major league help, according to sources with knowledge of the team's thinking. Ideally, that player would be a catcher or center fielder under club control beyond this season. The Astros are willing to trade a starter because they already are employing a six-man rotation, and right-hander Lance McCullers Jr. will become a seventh option if he returns as expected from a forearm strain in August. Such depth can be fleeting. But as things stand, the best way for the Astros to make their roster more functional would be to move a starter for a position player who would fill an existing need. Who might that player be? Good question. The trade market is not deep in catchers or center fielders. The obvious potential targets, Orioles center fielder Cedric Mullins, Pirates center fielder Brian Reynolds, Athletics catcher Sean Murphy. Do not play for teams hell-bent on making the playoffs. So the motivation for those clubs to meet Astros' price for an established starter would not be especially strong. So as a surprise wildcard contender, would they move three additional years of club control with Mullins for three of right-hander Jose Urquidy? There is zero chance they're trading Jose Urquidy for Cedric Mullins. If that's the case, then James Click is too stupid to do this. Okay, Jake Odorizzi is probably the pitcher the Astros would consider most expendable, but his value is not especially high. He also developed a blister on his right middle finger Tuesday night and is not expected to be a problem for him going forward. Urquidy would be in great demand. Well, no, duh. I don't want to hear Urquidy, Ken Rosenthal. Don't be jerkish. Do not even talk about Jose Urquidy.
I can tell you the guy that people will want is Christian Javier. Cheap. Or
Luis Garcia.
I don't think Garcia as much as Javier has massive swing miss numbers. His strikeout stuff is insane. He's cheaper. He's younger than Luis. I think he's younger than Luis Garcia as well, although they might be about the same age. And he's pitched better than Luis Garcia. Teams will say, yeah, we want Javier. I mean, we want a young guy with a big arm under club control. So that's who we want. That'll hurt.
Yeah.
That would hurt. That would hurt, I think, even a little bit more than Luis Garcia, who I think Luis Garcia is good. I think he's solid.
Started in rookie of the year last year.
I like it. I like it fine. That doesn't make you a great pitcher.
But Urquidy, I don't even want to hear that talk. I don't want to hear anything about trading.
Well, Urquidy's older, but it doesn't. I mean, he just told you that Garcia, Javier, Urquidy would be three that people would go after, and Urquidy, frankly, right, is the oldest.
But I think everybody should be more attracted to Jake Odorizzi. That's what I think. Yeah.
If you see what he's done his last eight games?
I've seen his last eight games. He's unbelievable. He's got a 3.27 now that ERA.
That goes into April. But, okay, but I know we hadn't had a 100-degree day yet, and since then we've had 21.
He had a whole month off. After being carted off for a
nobody
calf
better
strain.
In May than Jake Odorizzi.
So he's got six and so you got years of club control for Urquidy, for Luis Garcia,
not
Javier.
Not Urquidy. Yeah.
No, but you still got arbitration years for Urquidy.
I mean,
Jake Odorizzi is only $6.5 million next year. I think that's attractive. I think that's really attractive for a guy who's got a 3.27 over his last eight starts.
I would think so. Yeah.
So, listen, Jake Odorizzi's the target, everybody. Shut up, Ken Rosenthal.
And if you play against
talking
the
about
A's,
Jose Urquidy.
If you play against the A's, that's who Odorizzi's best against.
Right. How many games do you have against the A's?
And the A's are one of the worst hitting teams that we've seen in years.
Well, not the last two games so much. He did throw seven innings of shot, but the last two games he's given up like nine runs against them. But he did have one really good game.
If you're taking on Odorizzi, would you also be interested in Maton?
You could be. Huh? Now you're onto something here.
I mean, I'd rather you not get Urquidy, Garcia, or Javier. But I think most Major League Baseball teams.
What about Jose Siri and Paredes? You could throw them in.
What about Jose Siri and Paredes? And listen, and now all of a sudden you've got this little love affair that's developing for Chaz McCormick because he's had
he had a couple
home runs here recently.
I like the guy.
I think Chaz is Chaz. I don't really think we're going to see
lead
him
off. Why'd we lead him off? I forget.
Do you think it's a legitimate concern that Dusty Baker bear some responsibility for the lineups he's throwing out there against the A's? I mean, honestly, you give certain guys time off. How about just winning the last series, the last guy? Maybe I'm, you know, it's a day game. You're going to travel after that. Why don't you just try to win in the last? Why don't you put some of your better hitters in the lineup? Dusty has really, and I know that the big picture is winning. Maybe I'm off. The big picture is just like the Spurs with Pop used to, he started the load management. Maybe Dusty's just going through some load management. Maybe that's the right move.
Yeah.
And you sacrifice bats against the A's.
You sacrifice wins
against the A's. But
well, shouldn't you be beating them anyway with the team that you threw out there? Yeah, you should still be.
You
know what?
You should be more competitive than 0-3.
Oh, well, you're not. That's okay. You move on. You got Seattle tonight. Listen, this is kind of a big deal. By the way, I'm kind of happy. It goes Urquidy, Verlander, Fromber, and then Odorizzi, who in his last eight starts has got a 3.27 ERA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is who you're throwing. You're throwing Urquidy tonight, Verlander on Friday night, tomorrow night, and then Fromber, and then Odorizzi. So let's go. Got Seattle in town again. And then Boston on Monday night, which will be ESPN Monday Night Baseball. We had our guy here, Carl Ravitch, yesterday on the show talking about that. All right, 713-780-3776. Who wants in? You're more than welcome. Anything that you want to talk about, you are more than welcome. If you are having some problems, and it's not us, a line was cut, and so unfortunately our signal has been iffy this morning. If that's the case, you can download the app, or you can watch on Twitch, or the website, whatever the case may be. It's much easier. Or, you know what? Download the app and put it on in your car, and it's much easier to listen to every single day. So do it that way anyway. That's a great way to go about this thing. Right now, though, a great way to go about your patio is
Texas Custom Patio. I thought I was about to get an A, B, C, or D. You know, we just got done trading. What about this player? What about this player? I don't have to tell you about a bunch of patio companies because I know the Texas Custom Patios. For me, they were so good that I asked them to come on the air so I could start telling other people about it. I didn't, and that's exactly how it worked. I went and bought a patio from Stephen Shell and Texas Custom Patios, and I was so happy with it. I'll never forget the first time I was out there. I took literally a chair. I hadn't even gotten patio furniture yet. I put a chair out there, and I was on my patio. And it was a nice, cool morning. It was in December. And I was watching Premier League soccer. I was watching Lukaku had two goals that game. And I'm out there on a chair, not even a patio furniture chair. I went and got my patio furniture shortly thereafter. It's really cool because the process of the patio, you're gonna have space where they can build an outdoor living space. And you may not be able to see it. You may not be able to envision how it can be done. But trust me, the experts there can and they will. And what they build for you is going to blow you away. It's going to be better than your expectations. And it's also going to, you know, add dollar for dollar value onto your home, because when the next person buys it, they're going to want to have the same thing that you have. And that's what's going to give value to your home. Make sure that you go to TexasCustomPatios.com first before anywhere else. Check out all the before and afters. And start the process of getting your patio from TexasCustomPatios.com.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
To your point about the lineup, so eighth inning yesterday, you rarely see this. Eighth inning, Astros down two runs. Yuli leads off with a double. Yordan is up next. You rarely see. Now, Yordan is Yordan, but a big part of it is who's behind Jordan. So Aledmys Diaz is hitting cleanup yesterday. Now, it's no big. Aledmys Diaz has been pretty good and whatnot, but Aledmys Diaz versus Jordan, it's a no brainer. You're walking Jordan. Now you're probably walking Jordan no matter who's behind him. There's no, I don't think there's any, you know, any question that you're not going to pitch to Jordan in that situation. But it's rare to, for a manager is it's very rare that he'll put the lead run to the plate. He'll put the lead run at the plate. As opposed to, you know what? If they tie it up, they tie it up. Now it's Jordan, so you're going to walk him. First base was open. I get it. But Aledmys Diaz behind, as opposed to Tucker behind him, it's a big difference.
Yeah,
now, there was a lefty starter, so there is that. Kyle Tucker against lefties, go look at his splits. He's good.
He's fine.
He's good. It just is. That's just another little thing. And, oh, by the way, Diaz bashed an easy hopper to short and out of the inning, and you get nothing out of a two-out rally. And I'm not blaming Aledmys Diaz. He has been fine and everything else. It's just, would you not rather have Tucker up in that situation?
This is what I'll say about Dusty, and I don't like giving games away because you are battling for home field advantage. It's important. These games matter against the Yankees. You don't want the Yankees to have home field advantage, even if you've been the Yankees.
They still only have, despite this, they still only have a two-game lead.
They're a two-game lead.
Yeah.
But what is it if you win the game yesterday?
Yeah.
You know, it goes to 1.5, and it's you don't want the Yankees to get home field advantage if you can do anything about it. I think they're going to end up with it because I do think that for Dusty and the Astros, it's more of a battle of attrition. The Yankees just have more of everything. But the Astros aren't far behind, and I do think that there is more. The Yankees have a better lineup top to bottom.
They just added Benintendi.
I mean, Yuli has the disappearance of Yuli is the culprit. If you really look at the Astros and what the Astros do typically 1 through 5, even with Alex Bregman's numbers being different, 1 through 6. If Yuli was hitting less than last year, but still at about a 275 clip, right around 820 OPS, we're not really talking about concerns with the offense and things like that because Yuli is terrible right now with runners in scoring position. And in the past, he's been phenomenal. He's historic with the bases loaded, historically great.
And this year,
he is awful this year with bases loaded.
When going into the season, we knew this. We had three. This lineup with Carlos Correa last year was 7 deep. You had the issue in center field last year, and you had the issue at catcher. But when you're 7 deep in a lineup, it's awesome. So you're going into this season and you're like, well, here's your holes. Shortstop with a rookie in Pena. Center field, Jake Meyers isn't back yet. We'll see what they do. How McCormick and Siri, well, what happens there. And catcher, obviously. Well, catcher has been one of the worst. This has been one of the worst offensive positions, not this year, in the history of baseball. The catcher position and what they've done offensively for this team has been one of the worst in baseball history.
Yeah.
Center field has been so hit and miss. The only thing, the saving grace was that Pena turned into a good hitter and filled in for Carlos admirably, which I made the argument that Carlos, that Jeremy Pena has been the most important player for this team this season. But Yuli, his downturn has not only made up for Jeremy Pena, but it's over. This is worse than we thought Jeremy Pena would hit.
Well, so if you go Carlos Correa, last year's Yuli, versus Jeremy Pena, this year's Yuli, it's not even close. It's not even close. It's not even close. So, because it's not like Jeremy Pena is substantially better than Carlos, and that's not what you're saying. You're saying you're trying to keep it relatively the same. The defense is down, but you're keeping it relatively the same. But the Yulis, batting champ to Josh Bell is a legitimate discussion now that they have to just replace Yuli, the batting champ. That's incredible. And it's not like Yuli had just some, you know, we're talking about a young player who was rookie of the year, like a Marty Cordova, who all of a sudden falls way off. We're talking about a guy with sustained excellence at the plate who maybe the bat speed just isn't the same. Maybe physically, and I think age is catching up with Yuli. There's no other explanation for it.
Yeah.
But not having, you know, not being able to go the Astros used to be go. It used to be 1 through 7. Good luck getting the Astros out. 8 might have been Josh Reddick. So you know you had to fade Josh Reddick if he was going to be hot or not, and then you had a layup with the catcher more than likely. Now, even when Alex Bregman's starting to hit the ball pretty well, and he has been for a little while now, Yuli is a dead out. So you've got dead outs now potentially in center field, at catcher, and at first base.
Now,
that's tough.
In fairness, Yuli has been better of late.
He's been better, but this month, July wasn't good. Go look at his splits in July. I was thinking it was better in July, but his July splits aren't good.
Trying to get there. Okay. So Yuli this month, that's his game log. In July, he's better. 274.
Oh, is he in July?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm looking at...
No.
No, I was looking at runners.
274 and a 740 OPS.
I was looking at his RISP still stinks in July.
No. In June, he was 241 with a 749 OPS.
Yep.
May, 214, 621. In April, 224, 605. So... I mean, he's got such a deep,
you're looking
deep
at the
hole
slashes.
To dig out of.
You're looking at the slashes, and the slashes are better in July.
Yeah.
But the runners and scoring position stuff sucks, because that's what I went and looked up. That's what I was getting confused with that. His runners and scoring position stuff has been consistently terrible this year.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that he was, like, the master. We've had this discussion in the past. Who would you like to have up with?
Yeah.
With
he
bases
was, he
loaded?
Was one guy.
Yuli was
no.
my over Altuve, over Carlos, over George. Yuli was the guy who, as I mentioned, to this day, he's hitting over 400 with the bases loaded career.
So here is his numbers, Yuli's numbers this season. With nobody on, 263. You'll take that. And a 742 OPS. Runners on, 193 average.
Yeah.
570 OPS. With runners in scoring position, 169,
he's horrible.
460 OPS.
Horrible.
That's Brad Ausmus.
No, yeah, he's horrible with runners.
Bases loaded, he's hitting 100 with a 267 OPS.
And he's had 10 of those at-bats.
When he leads off an inning, 284 with 859 OPS.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got to be your leadoff hitter.
This improvement in July, and the numbers are better in July, he's still not hitting with runners in scoring position.
It's awful.
He leaves so many men on base.
It's so...
Look at the
he
RBIs.
Was so clutch before.
His last 30 days, his RBI numbers, 8.
Okay.
8. July, his RBI numbers for the month of July, John, 6.
Last year, runners on, 346, 938 OPS.
No, he's phenomenal with runners
scoring
on.
Scoring position... 299, 813. Bases loaded, 417, 1,004 OPS.
He's always been that, though. I'm telling you, this is not. I'm not just saying this as hyperbole. He's historically one of the greatest bases loaded hitters of all time.
He's no
with
Matt
a limited
Carpenter, but okay.
sample size. Yeah. Limited sample size. His numbers are off the charts with bases loaded, and they have been his entire career. Look at this. This month of July, he's got 6 RBIs. I'm glad he's hitting 274 this month. He has 6 RBIs in 73 at-bats. Last month, he had 8 RBIs, and the month before that, he had 9 RBIs. He's not – now, his strikeout totals came down. 8 strikeouts this month, 11 and 16. So he's done a better job of not striking out. But these slash numbers, to me, are not that big a deal because every single month he's played, he doesn't knock runners in. And that is what, ladies and
especially,
gentlemen, why the Astros struggle. When you talk about struggling to score runs and sitting here and,
well,
you know,
in the 6-hole, too, he's got so many opportunities.
He's had a ton of opportunities, and it's just not happening. When you look at Yuli's runners in scoring position at-bats, for example, scoring position, he's got 77 at-bats with runners in scoring position. And it just, you know, 13 hits. And 16 runs scored. And that's with runners in scoring position. 16 runs scored. It's just not – that's been the biggest difference is if Yuli – we're not really even worried about the offense at all. It's just Astros are still a juggernaut. Now they're a juggernaut because Justin Verlander's doing something that no one thought he could do. and because, you know, Yordan is this monster and Kyle Tucker's coming up and Altuve still is a boogeyman for the Yankees. And there's all these factors that kind of fit together, but it used to be an overlay and an overlapping of factors. Astros hit for power. Astros get on base. Astros don't strike out. Astros are clutch. Astros are deep. It was all these factors would rain terror on everyone. And even if the win numbers look similar, it's like there's not this big overlay of things happening. You've got good starting pitching, good bullpen, but you know there are some factors. But
let me ask you this: they're talking about
are they clutch?
2017 team versus this team, almost identical records. They had almost identical records. Which team do you trust more?
There's no question, 17.
That team.
I trust 17 more. It's because I know you couldn't fade the bats over the course of a series. You couldn't fade the bats. Remember, the pitching sucked against the Dodgers. It sucked. The bullpen was atrocious. Nobody could get an out in the bullpen.
No.
Nobody could get an out. And you had to outslug the Dodgers to win some of those games. Look what happened. And I was in the stadium for the game 5 when they couldn't even barely get a hit. And the Astros kept it real close. It was a tight game, but they just couldn't score runs. But they had other times when, you know, they could score whatever they had to score. This team, I don't see that. Like, you can't – if your starting pitching is not good enough, you're going to get beaten in the postseason. You can't just outslug a team and win a series.
All right.
I don't think they're built to outslug a team, because back then it was like George could do it, Altuve could do it, Correa could do it. I got to remember whoever – Yuli could do it because you didn't have Tucker back then. Yeah, Bregman could do it. There was a number of guys who could slug it out for you if you needed.
Yeah. All right. Craig DeSurf, he slugs it out.
Yeah, he can slug it out for you. He'll go toe-to-toe with whoever that you've got from a car dealership standpoint. Craig DeSurf can go toe-to-toe with them. And I've spoken for his products for decade and a half, I guess. And I love it because I know that Craig DeSurf is a guy who's going to make me look good. Because when I tell you guys to go out to Angleton, you're going to stop in and they're going to be very nice. They're not going to hustle you or hassle you when you step out of the door of your car like, okay, what can we do to get you in this car? What do I have to do? They will work with you on if payments are important to you, if time of financing is important. You say, I only want 5 years. I don't want 6 years. If you say, I want to get a certain vehicle at a certain finance rate, or maybe you want the payments to be somewhere, they'll work with you on all that. They give you the most value for your trade back as well. So they're very, very aggressive in giving you the trade back numbers that are going to be not only competitive, but in most cases, they're going to win the battle against other dealerships. And you've got great vehicles to choose from, including the first ever all-electric Blazer EV, if you'd like to take a look at that. Chevy Silverado 1500s with 2.49% APR rates. Chevy Equinox is 0% APR rates. Check out what they've got at LanceZCars.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Reading Jerome Solomon this morning. He says, in December, when they're going to be playing the Tennessee Titans, the Texans will be still in the playoff hunt in late December. What? Exactly 5 months from today, on Christmas Eve, the Texans will be in Nashville facing the Titans, looking for a win to stay in the playoff hunt. How about that?
Okay.
If the Texans, okay, an extremely, extremely successful season, 9 wins. That would be,
oh my God.
That would be.
Lovie Smith, I mean, it wouldn't happen because 9 wins isn't enough. Lovie Smith should be in the conversation for coach of the year.
Yeah.
If they got to 9 wins. What would it take to happen? Davis Mills takes a big jump. Like Davis Mills, at the end of the year, we're going, Davis Mills is a legit starter in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's a good player. It would take 20, probably 25, 25 to 26 passing touchdowns, and the defense, I think, to really take a big step up, you know, taking the ball away. Lovie Smith's defense has always taken the ball away.
Yep. And listen, I honestly, Stingley,
I can't get there, though. I mean, I just –
Stingley,
I can't get
Thomas,
there.
King, their corners are – you just went over the Chiefs. I'll take the Texans' corners over those corners.
I went over the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals,
the Chiefs,
rather.
Yeah. I would take the – yeah, I mean, in theory, I don't see a big difference.
A big difference? You got the number three overall pick. You got Tamir Thomas, who's one of the great players in the game today.
Yeah.
Right? And
I told you, I asked Johnny Harris, but I said, Johnny, there's a lot of Tamir Thomas questions at the combine. What's the deal with? He said, dude, he can play. You know, Jay Bird knows. Yeah. I mean, he watches more than anybody. He's like, Tavir can legit play. He's a legitimate talent. So, you know, we were kind of sleeping on him because he's a Texans cornerback. He was a scrap heap guy. No one really cared about him. But those kind of guys, Kenny Moore, Ballard pulled a scrap heap guy off the waiver wire named Kenny Moore, and he's a Pro Bowler. It happens at cornerback.
It happens all the time.
A lot of times, corners and safeties get overlooked, and they become pretty good players. So if Derek Stingley can mentally get his focus where it needs to be and be a good pro, Stingley, Thomas, King, Jalen Petrie, yeah, you're right. I mean, and you get a rush. And
listen,
I think that's the real key.
I think it's the most improved. Listen, I am not at all worried about the Texans secondary. It's can they put any pressure on anybody?
Well, I've been worried about Texans secondary since 2006.
But not now. With Petrie now? I mean,
yeah,
you still got Murray and you got other guys up
two
there.
Two of those guys are rookies.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. They're going to play well. And you know what? They've got pedigrees.
You can't see both nine those wins, guys, can you? It would take a huge turnover battle. Like, the Texans would have to be an incredible turnover team, I think, to get to nine wins.
Yeah. And it actually could happen. Now, they got to put pressure on the quarterback, and that's going to come from Greenard, but I don't know where else it's going to come from. So maybe he develops all kinds of blitz schemes and dog schemes that he can get to the quarterback. There are ways away. I don't think nine wins is ridiculous. I just don't. If Davis Mills plays really well, if they actually can run the football for a change, Kenyon Green's going to help that out.
Yeah.
Marlon Mack's going to help that out. You know, it would be nice if they had some weapons on the outside for the kid, but we'll see. What would be disastrous this year? Davis Mills gets hurt in the second game.
Yeah, because you don't. Yeah,
now
you wouldn't learn anything.
Now
about
you got
Mills.
No idea whether or not he's the guy. Kyle Allen could come in and play. Okay, you win four games. Now all of a sudden you're not picking. You can't get
four should be a
Stroud or Bryce.
Yeah,
Young.
You can't because you'll have an extra draft pick.
True.
From the Watson thing. So you have the maneuverability to get up to where you need to get.
If the Browns win and it's a pick in the 20s, that doesn't help that much.
Well, the point is they want to know who Davis Mills is. That's the most important thing this year.
That's the biggest thing.
Who he is, because what he might be is he might be a tier four starter. And if that's all he's going to be is a tier four starter and Mike Sandoz, let me throw some. And most of these tier four guys, well, right now he's a tier four guy. They're all guys. There's Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. These are all young guys. The tier three guys that he has, let's say a low tier three, Jameis Winston. If all you have is Jameis Winston, that's not good enough. Jared Goff, that's not good enough. But I'm saying Jared Goff right now.
Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not going to. That's great, but what did he do after that? He was terrible. With those same guys, he was terrible.
Yeah.
With the same guys that he played with, Cooper Kupp, he wasn't very good. So I would say if Davis Mills is Jared Goff, the upside of it, and Jared Goff was the first pick, but if Davis Mills is Jared Goff, the upside of what you know that got to the Super Bowl was a pretty good year. But you also know some of the downside. If I told you that, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff were both
in their second year.
They were really good. Like
in their second years, they were.
I thought Carson Wentz had an MVP possibility 3 years ago, headed into the season, and he has taken. Like, I can't speak loudly enough about the decline of Jared Goff and Carson Wentz from where they looked like they were headed. And the money they got to where they are now, it's staggering. It's staggering. And that was just the 2016 draft, I think, where they went 1-2. I think it's 2016. Look where they are now. Baker Mayfield, 19th on this list. Mac Jones is 18th. Tannehill, 17th. But, yeah, you're right. Here's what's going to happen. If Davis Mills plays and he's Jimmy Garoppolo and he's a game manager, I don't think they'll draft quarterback this year. If he shows a level of competence, they're not going to use their early pick on a quarterback, I don't think.
No. No. That's the whole goal this year, to find out that they don't have to. Now, Jared Goff's living his best life, right? You see.
You always go to the pull-up Jared Goff girlfriend. You Google Jared and Goff girlfriend in any Jared Goff arguments, but that's not going to win you games.
I don't
games.
Care what he, how many
yeah, that
games
doesn't
he wins.
Win you games,
he's
though.
Winning the game of life. That's all
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I get
he's
that.
He's got
but...
the big contract, and he's got Kristen Harper. Wins. He wins. Yeah. Jared Goff is a winner, okay, that in my book, okay?
I think the best-case scenario for Davis Mills is probably he's Kirk Cousins, which is – maligned, but also productive and a solid quarterback. Kirk Cousins is not good enough to win a big game, but Kirk Cousins gets, if I just threw numbers at you, Kirk Cousins, you know, if you played the game, somebody played this game the other day, I saw it, Lamar Jackson's numbers for 5 years, Kirk Cousins' number the last 5 years, is it 5 years or 4 years? Anyway, I think it may be four for Lamar. So 4 years Lamar, that's what, it's 4 years Lamar, 4 years Kirk Cousins. It's not even remotely close. Like, Kirk Cousins is so much. But the reality is one guy can make big plays.
Well, the reality is one guy is 10-40 against good teams with teams with winning records, and the other guy's pretty good.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson can make some more winning plays. Now, I would argue his defense has been much better than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
It's not even arguable. However, Kirk Cousins folds in the biggest moments where Lamar Jackson can step up and can make bigger plays in the big moments. And that's... You know, Davis Mills, but I would take right now in the logical move up, I would take a Kirk Cousins in a heartbeat. Davis Mills can be that. Then eventually you get to the point where you're arguing, man, the Texans need to get better than Davis Mills. That's eventually what happens when you have a Kirk Cousins type starter, because we already had that. His name was Matt Schaub. Eventually you get to a point where you say, okay, this is good enough to get here, but it's not good enough to beat the best teams. And once you get to that point, that's a new argument for you to start worrying about and talking about the Carson Wentz concern or the Jared Goff concern. The Texans aren't even there. They're not even there right now. But you're hoping to find out. You're hoping to get to that point sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, Max Scherzer had some interesting things to say about sign stealing and pitch comm. We will do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Max Scherzer is not an underdog now, is he?
Max Scherzer is not. No, he's not an underdog. But Underdog Fantasy is for you. And it kind of, I kind of like the name, because Underdog Fantasy, you know, they're coming into the space now, and so many people have established themselves in the fantasy space. You've heard about the big daily fantasy companies. And how do they separate themselves and differentiate themselves? I think one of the ways is they have the awesome pick'em features, and they have the awesome live and active daily fantasy, but they have features like Best Ball Mania 3. What Best Ball Mania 3 is it's going to be $1 million to the highest scoring team through round one, which is really, really cool. They've got $10 million in prizes. Right now, there's 451,000 entrants in this. How much does it cost to enter? $25. Am I going to enter today? Yes, I am going to enter today, and I'm going to get my shot because I was a winner last year. I won. I did not get the big cheese, but I won last year as part of the Best Ball Mania group of entrants, and we're talking about paying out a huge amount. I mean, even if you finish in fifth place, it's a $75,000 winner. If you finish in the top 400, you're winning $1,000. You're winning $200 if you finish in the top 940 right now. So go to underdogfantasy.com, use promo code Lance, and they're going to match your deposit up to $100. So you put $100 in, you're going to have $200 in your account, and you can use that for daily baseball, fantasy baseball, the pick'ems for baseball. You can use it for different sports that they have on there, but make sure you use $25 to enter in the Best Ball Mania 3 for your chance to draft your team, and then you don't have to do anything else. No trades, no roster management. Whatever your score is at the end of the year with the best lineup, and every week it defaults to the best lineup, that gives you your chance to win at the end of the year. UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code Lance.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on all Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com. Save big.